This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Well, Murray will bring it up. Final seconds for the Celtics. Hang on. All the hustle plays and clutch plays down the stretch to end their mini two-game losing streak. And get a victory at home against the Denver Nuggets in a matchup for the teams with the two best records and the second best record in each respective conference.
Big weekend for the Celtics. The Cavs on Friday, the Nuggets yesterday. They split in two big matchups. We can get into it here in hour number two of Jones and Keefe. It's a mock draft Monday if you missed any of Shime. Last hour, his mock draft 2.0 up at WEEI.com. He's got the Patriots trading back, taking T-Mac, Tet McMillan, out of the University of Arizona at 7, picking up a future second. Jets move up to 4 and take Shedeur Sanders. We're broadcasting live from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. And I think the Celtics weekend was very interesting, Keefe, on a number of levels. We can get into Drew Holiday and his injury coming up. But they lose to the Cavs. They have a giant lead against the Cavs on Friday. Tatum, you've seen this cutaway now of Tatum.
Of course I have.
F out of here, Cavs. It's 25-3. He's telling him to get out of his building.
Brutal look.
Next thing you know, they're basically run out of their own building.
He lost the game.
By Cleveland, yeah. Who they've now split with on the season series. I think that game meant way more to the Cavs than it did to the Celtics, but you were still up 25-3 and you lost the game. Then yesterday, they tried their hardest to blow the lead, but credit to the Celtics, who were without Porzingis, without Drew Holiday. They're able to hold off Denver, making a comeback yesterday. Derek White with a big bucket in the final minute of the game to make it a two-possession game and ultimately pull away from Denver. Which game meant more? Which game, told the bigger story? The loss on Friday to the Cavs or the win yesterday against Denver? Because these are two contending teams that they faced.
It legit could be the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. And we saw it in the span of 3 days. And not to be a negative Nelson, but I do think that the Cavs game means more in the long run than the Nuggets game does. And it just, the Cavs now, I think, of all the teams in the East, have to have a little bit of confidence going up against the Celtics. They split with them. They're 2-2, and I understand the Celtics haven't been at full strength for all those games. Like, I'm well aware of that. However, are you going to guarantee me the Celtics are going to be at full strength come playoff time? Because that's how I look at it. Last year, the Celtics did have a pretty beneficial run, meaning everybody they faced seemed to have some sort of injury along the way, and they won a title. What's to say that that won't impact the Celtics this year more than just Porzingis? I know he missed like half the playoff games last year. But if you miss a couple of guys, which might not be the craziest thing to suggest, how's that Cleveland matchup look now? Like, Cleveland's pretty tough. They have guys that can hit big shots. They got Donovan Mitchell, obviously. They got a couple of bigs. Like, that could be a tricky matchup if the Celtics are undermanned. If the Celtics are full strength, I'm certainly going to take them. If they're missing one of their top seven or eight guys, I'll still take them. But if they're missing a couple guys, I think you have to at least give them the chance. Whereas before, you felt like they had such a leg up over the Eastern Conference that they could be without two of their seven best guys and it wouldn't matter. I think now if they face Cleveland in that same scenario, you have to at least give it a little pause.
Believe it or not, I would put more stock in the win yesterday than the loss on Friday to Cleveland. But it's because I just still don't fear Cleveland. Maybe I'm living in the dark on this.
You better wake up.
They've been good all year long. They split with the Celtics. Maybe I'm still asleep on Cleveland. I acknowledge that. I don't really take them seriously. Denver, I respect. You know, I don't want to say I fear Denver, but I respect the Nuggets. They've won a championship before. They're going to have the best player on the floor when you face off in an NBA Finals, if you face off in an NBA Finals. And so I put more stock in yesterday when you're going against a team I respect and believe in and think they're a true championship contender than a team that, yeah, they're a good Eastern Conference team, but I don't know that they're a true contender in the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They've won 50 games now, which is pretty remarkable. They're 50-10.
Right, but we've talked about this before.
No, I know.
They could be the Atlanta Hawks winning 60-plus games and teams like this where...
I think Mitchell's better than any player those Hawks teams had. I think he's better than Joe Johnson. I
would
think he's
agree
better
with
than,
that.
You know, Mike Bibby and whatever else they had. Marvin Williams.
Like, I think agree he's better with that, than those guys. But we've seen teams like this, especially in LeBron's time in the East. Other teams would come in, they'd be the one seed, but they were the one seed, you know, ceremonially, basically. Mm-hmm. They had good regular seasons, but you knew when LeBron and the Cavs or LeBron and the Heat or whoever it was dug deep, they were the better team. I do still feel that way about the Celtics and Cavaliers, so I put more stock in the win yesterday over Denver, personally.
Is Russell Westbrook the best bad player in the history of the NBA? I don't think he's very good. And, like, he gets big minutes on that Nuggets team, and I think it's going to be a detriment. The guy can't shoot. He is a turnover waiting to happen. I don't know. I feel like they can exploit Russell Westbrook. And if that's a guy that Denver is relying on, like, Jokic is incredible. Jokic is the best player currently in the NBA. Jamal Murray is hot and cold.
Murray's done this twice to the Celtics this year, where he's just taken over for a quarter and, like, been unguardable, uncoverable for like a quarter and gotten the Nuggets back in the game. He's done that twice now to the Celtics this year. So that's a really good number two. I would take the Celtics. We were talking about duos a couple of weeks ago. Stephen A., I believe, took the Nuggets duo over the Celtics, which I wouldn't do. But, you know, that's a really good pair of players they have in Denver. I don't know how deep the team is, to your point.
Cleveland split their two games with Oklahoma City, split their four games with the Celtics, and are 2-0 against the Nuggets. So I didn't go back and look at who played in all those games or whatever else. But, you know, not only are they 50-10, but it does seem like they've gone pretty... Like they've done well head-to-head with some of the other best teams in the NBA.
A couple items. One here. Guys, you do know the Celtics didn't have Porzingis for the playoffs last year.
Wait, what?
Hang on, wait a minute. What? No, that was what Keith was saying. Keith's saying, can you really expect to have all these guys? And if the league is better this year, can you weather it the way you did a year ago when all those teams were also down? Good players.
No, but
the Cavs, the Cavs didn't have Mitchell, right? Not to go through this list for the millionth time. The Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler. The Pacers were without Haliburton for half the series. So, it was easier to win without Kristaps Porzingis a year ago, where the East was worse at the top, and all those teams were missing their best player.
He did play in some of the games. Like, he wasn't just out for the playoffs. I get your point. He missed more games than he played in, but that's also why I don't think anybody can look at these matchups with Cleveland and say, well, as long as Holiday and Porzingis are there, like, can we stop, like, counting on Porzingis to ever play? Like, never have. But I feel like every once in a while you get they didn't have Porzingis. Like, okay, get used to saying that.
Right.
Like, that's just sort of what it is. And now when he's out there, great. And it should be, you know, it should make your margin of error, I guess, that much larger. But I'm not going to guarantee he's playing.
So Holiday would be a big one. And maybe there's a correlation to all the blown 20-point leads. Twitch chat talking about that now. We brought this up earlier. It was 25-3 on Friday against the Cavs. They had a 20-plus point lead yesterday against Denver. They got all the way down to 3 late in the fourth quarter. They didn't officially blow the lead, but they were trying their hardest. I mean, how concerning is that against top-tier talent that they can't put these teams away, or it took them a while to put away Denver yesterday? How concerning is that?
Yeah, it's been a bit of an issue for them all season long. I mean, you go to the Cleveland game on Friday, when you're up that big, it's the NBA, so there are always runs, right? So if you're up early, the game's not over, obviously. But you should be able to still win that game. Like, even if they come back, you got to be like, they should, you know what they always say, like, oh, there should be like a ton of energy exerted for them to come back from a 22-point deficit, where you should be able to like level it off and then regain the lead, take control. They should be better at home than they are. That's also part of the whole issue with the Celtics. But I do think, and we saw in the playoffs last year, even though the road was fairly easy for them, there were games that were close, you know, Indiana and whatever. They were really close games.
I mean, that Indy series was quite close.
Pretty tight.
For how lopsided it was. Was it a sweep? It was a sweep, right?
Yeah.
For how lopsided it was.
I mean, Andrew Nimhard had these crazy games. But Drew Holiday was always such a calming presence that it felt like, as good as Tatum and Brown are, they needed Holiday to sort of calm things down at times. And, you know, save a possession here or there that maybe if you didn't have him in there, wouldn't have ended the same way. So, yeah, I don't think it was a coincidence that the first year Drew Holiday was on the team was the year that they broke through and won a title. And if he's out, I think he's more important than Porzingis is. Porzingis is more, like, if you're just ranking the players on the team, he'd rank higher. But as far as, like, importance to the team and moments like this, like in the game on Sunday or Friday even, I think he has more value.
So you can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. What was the more noteworthy game this weekend? The win over Denver, where they held off the Nuggets, tried to blow a 20-point lead but didn't, got the victory. Or was it the loss on Friday against Cleveland at home, up 25-3, and wound up losing going away, even when Tatum and Brown were going off in that game? Again, 617-779-7937. We can get into the blown 20-point leads. And the correlation with Drew Holiday, I think you and I have been actually pretty consistent on this, Keith.
If nothing else.
I've given Holiday quite an excuse all year. And it's I guess, soft on my end to do it. But if you're asking me what I believe, Drew Holiday being invisible for most of this regular season, and invisible might be too strong, but just take a step back.
No, but just not great.
A step back from a year ago. It's not a very good regular season. There's a lot of miles between a deep playoff run last year and Team USA basketball and everything else like that for an older player. I've given him the free pass because I saw it last year. I didn't love his regular season a year ago either.
No.
And I was more vocal about it then. And then you saw him flip a switch in the postseason. Like, I was fearful about the whole team coasting and the whole team trying to flip a switch. I'm less concerned about him, who feels better at picking his spots and conserving energy. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But if he's going to miss an extended period of time with Mallet Finger.
Wasn't that your nickname in high school?
It's on my basketball reference page. It's Mallet Finger Jones. And so I don't, I mean,
a lot of prom dates, this guy.
How does he come back from it? How is
painfully, still, by the sound of it.
Is he still dealing with, like, lingering effects from it? I think that's a legitimate question about this team. Like, I'm much more concerned, to your point, about not having Holiday at full strength than even not having Porzingis, period. Like, they've already proven they can win without Porzingis.
Right, right.
They haven't proven it without Holiday.
Yeah, no, it's obviously a we-shall-see situation with how long Drew Holiday is going to be back and then how long it takes him to, you know, acclimate back in. But they don't really need his scoring, right? So if his finger is messing up his shot and all that stuff, he's still one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, and he's just such a true veteran and winner that I think if you have him out there, you're still going to rely on Tatum and Brown and even White to do all the scoring, right? So I think just having Holiday, it's still forever away until the playoffs and everything else. So I guess it's just Mallet fingers crossed that Drew Holiday is able to come back healthy enough.
I'd keep an eye on that one because Terp came in late last week. He's like, guys, this injury with Holiday could keep him out for a while.
Serious, yeah.
Like it's what? No joke. It could keep him out for a long time. And so we'll see. We'll talk to Terp on a Celtics Wednesday at high noon on Jones and Keefe. We'll get you the Jones and Keefe bracket coming up here before the end of the hour at 11:45. We'll release all four topics. You can vote on social media and you decide where we're going with our Jones and Keefe bracket. We take no responsibility for this.
No, we put this in your hands.
The ball is in your court.
That's right.
Up to you what we're going to do for topics. We'll let you vote for 24 hours. We'll have the topic decided by tomorrow, and we'll come out with the bracket beginning in the middle of the week on Wednesday. So mark that down. We'll also get to the Bruins before the hour is out. Interesting point here on the text line. This was a weird comment from Mazzulla after the game. Did you see this? Where he basically said Djokovic, or Jokic rather, isn't part of the game plan.
I don't understand that. And you never know with Mazzulla. Like, is he trolling? Is he serious?
It was a strange comment.
I heard it. I don't really get it.
So
he was given, but then he was also given Horford like a ton of credit for how he played on him. So it was like, clearly he had you talked about him.
I would like to think I would like to think Jokic would be part of the game plan. That's probably where I would start if I were the Celtics. I think that was his way of trying to give credit to the players around Jokic, and it's like, Jokic is going to get his. He's going to put up his numbers, and it's about everybody else. Like, we're not going to be able to take him away. I think that's what he was trying to say, But it was a weird way of putting it. The text line says that comment is proof the Celtics still have a coaching disadvantage.
I don't think they have a disadvantage. Like a couple years ago, I was
I'm not Wiggy.
Up in arms about
I'm not Wiggy saying he's the best coach in the NBA, but no. I feel pretty good about where their coaching is at these days.
No, I would agree.
You know, and a championship can change a lot of the outlook on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel pretty good now about where Mazzulla and the coaching staff is at. It was a questionable comment, for sure. But, yeah, no, I feel a lot better about Mazzulla this year than a year ago, and a championship can change your perspective on that.
Well, that obviously helps, but think about all the times we were screaming about timeouts or screaming about fourth quarter rotations. I think what happened was Brad Stevens actually gave him fewer good players, which worked out, because I think he had a hard time balancing the minutes for all the guys that he had, and they're like, all right, just use these guys. You can't screw this up. I always go back to the examples of Derek White would be having a great game and then wouldn't play in the fourth quarter, and you're like, what happened to Derek White? And he's like, yeah, I forgot. You're like, you forgot?
Yeah.
You're like, you forgot that you had that guy available to you? There's so much less of that where we're kind of ripping our hair out about timeouts, knowing, hey, Joe, you know you have timeouts, you can try to stop a run. I think he's gotten a better grasp of it. And the players, there's no like cheap shit. Remember like Marcus Smart, some of the comments he would say about him? Like, those guys aren't doing that now.
I absolutely remember.
Well, I know you do.
So, no, I my one gripe with Mazzulla this year with the rotation changes was when Tatum started playing the full first quarter.
Yeah.
And it was throwing things out of whack, and Jaylen was starting to complain about his role, and that subsided. So, I mean, that was my one big criticism of Mazzulla this year, or the one thing I was at least second-guessing. I feel better about his ability, again, this year than I did a year ago. I wouldn't take that comment, other than how strange it was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's evidence the Celtics still have a massive disadvantage, because you know, I don't think he's the best coach in the league by any means. Again, I'm not Wiggy on this, but I don't know. How good is Malone? Like, do you love Mike Malone on the other side yesterday?
I just think Udoka's great, and then everybody else is kind of out there.
Yeah, that's kind of the
list. It depends on your players.
Spoelstra, Udoka,
yeah,
and then everybody else.
Yeah,
player
depends on your pair.
Yeah, I mean,
we're seeing that with Kerr.
Maybe that's the real answer. Like, Mazzulla's less maddening to me, but it's still going to be about the players and the talent.
Definitely.
And I don't think Mazzulla's going to get in the way of that. That was my fear. And they've proven that not to be the case.
So those, so Cleveland-Denver is as good of a back-to-back as you could probably have in the NBA as far as like challenges. The two other games coming up, though, in the next week and a half. So they have some terrible teams like Portland and Philadelphia this week. So Philadelphia shut down Joel Embiid. Like, what a disaster. Saturday, though, home against the Lakers.
I know.
Home against Luka and the Lakers.
Lakers have been playing well. Are they the two seed in the West right now?
They are.
Yeah,
the Nuggets lost yesterday. Put them in.
Yeah.
I still don't think
LeBron and Luka look like they're playing great together.
Luka Doncic, though,
LeBron is stud.
But they are the 2 seed in the West, 38-21.
And then Wednesday the 12th, they're home against Oklahoma City. So this super long homestand, you get Donovan Mitchell, Jokic, Doncic, and LeBron, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in Oklahoma City. It's a good stretch.
It's a good run.
You got like a 5-game bundle. Those are the games you wanted to go to.
No, it is. And so I think personally, and Keith and I disagree on this, I think the Nuggets win yesterday was more telling than the loss to the Cavs on Friday, but I haven't really given the Cavs a fair shake all year long.
You don't like the Cavs all year? That's fine. That's dug true. It's going to have to be a game 7 of the East Finals for you to be like, oh yeah, Cavs are decent.
Yeah.
Cavs are good.
And even still, I'm going to be like,
no, I know.
We all know who's winning game 7. Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of how I feel about that. Again, you can jump in 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Celtics weekend, some more big games for the Seas coming up. Andrew Holiday, that injury, how big of a factor will it be for the Celtics? You can jump in on the phones and on the text line. We will get you the Jones and Keith bracket before the hour's out, or at least the four topics. We'll announce them coming up at 11:45. You can vote on social media at Jones and Keith coming up at 11:45. And let's get to the Bruins. Trade deadline is Friday, Keith.
It is sneaking up on us.
We've been talking about the NHL
like the whole
trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, the deadline.
We have been talking about the Bruins deadline for so long.
Yeah.
And what are they waiting for? Why are they dragging this out? Why are they doing this?
It is upon us.
They've now dragged it out so far that one of the guys we thought was in the mix to get traded, Brad Marchand, is now hurt.
Right.
How does that impact the Bruins' approach at the trade deadline, the direction of the franchise? We'll get to that with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have to look at it again. I thought that he was tripped into the boards, and there was a little bit of a shove in there too, which put him in a tough spot. I thought we should have been on the power play from there.
Joe Sacco over the weekend. Bruins also split this weekend. Brad Marchand knocked out against Pittsburgh. You can blame John Henry for that one.
Thanks a lot, John Henry. Although, no, things are looking up for John Henry.
You think so?
Arrow up.
After the offseason?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll give him that.
I feel a lot better about
him
now.
I still blame him for this. I still want to blame him for this. That's his fine. Hockey team.
That's fair.
Out there running Brad Marchand, who was headfirst into the boards against Pittsburgh. He misses the game yesterday against the Wild, where the Bruins don't score. David Pastrnak, his long point streak, came to an end yesterday. Another weekend where the Bruins are up and down. Trade deadline is Friday, March 7th at 3 o'clock, shortly after we get off the air, Keith. And now you have an issue with Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
You already had to wonder, are they going to trade him? Are they not going to trade him? Are they going to extend him? Does he even want to be extended in New England? Don Sweeney, I thought, put pressure on Marchand a week ago by leaving the ball in his court. And Marchand, again, didn't return against Pittsburgh, didn't play yesterday against Minnesota. Elliot Friedman on his 32 Thoughts podcast said it looks like Brad Marchand will be out until after Friday's deadline.
Okay.
But also that it's not a long-term injury.
All right. So it's really up to the team trading for him at this point.
Yeah.
You know, the Red Sox acquired Kyle Schwarber a few years ago, and you remember...
It's a great analogy. Like, if you're trying to talk yourself into the Bruins still being able to trade him, that's a good name to have at the ready.
Because when that happened, remember the Yankees got Rizzo and all these other teams made moves, and we're like, the Red Sox didn't do anything, and then Schwarber shows up, and it was awesome. It just took him a little bit. So would a team be willing to trade for Marchand and have him not ready to go? I mean, Luka and Anthony Davis got traded. Neither one of those guys were ready to go. Now they both came back, and then Davis subsequently got hurt. But so hurt players have been traded recently. As long as he's not out for the year.
But you would acknowledge that it doesn't help. It doesn't help the value at all, and it doesn't help the decision at all.
So let me ask you this.
Can still trade him. You're right. Injured players get traded, especially guys who are going to be on the mend in short order.
Well, this freaking trade deadline being so late is ridiculous. We talked about it last week. I don't know if it was the Four Nations. I assume it was the Four Nations, but it pushes it back. All these teams are going to have played 60 plus games, 62 games of the 82,
yeah,
and
three,
then the
three
trade
quarters
deadline?
Of your schedule, and then you do the trade deadline.
So it is
too
a
much.
Weird thing. So even if Marchand's coming back, let's say you're Edmonton and you trade for him and he's not ready to go right away, but you're like, hey, he's coming back. You get him for like eight games and then the playoffs? That's not ideal. No. Now, the upshot in talent might be worth it, but it is kind of crazy. I guess you want to call it bad luck. But who are the two guys without a contract for next year that were most likely to be traded by the Bruins? Brad Marchand, Trent Frederick. Both have gotten hurt over the last week and a half.
That's true. We didn't even mention Frederick. He's also out. That's a
good
point.
We don't. I mean, you're not going to get a lot for him, but they haven't been able to come to a long-term deal with him. It seems like if you're trying to change at least the roster a little bit, you know, you can't get rid of every single guy. So if you want to have some fresh blood for next year, Frederick and Marchand seem like two guys that could be gone. Could you get something for them? Well, if they're both dealing with injuries, you're either not going to get as much or you might not get anything at all. If I had to bet, I don't think they would actually pull the trigger on Marchand. I think even if he was healthy as an ox, I think they hang on.
Okay, fine. I disagree with the text line, though, where they say stop with the bull crap. They're not trading Marchand. He's on all these trade lists. I mean,
why not?
You can think. No, they absolutely should. I'm with you, Keith.
Yeah. I'm saying why not to the texter.
They're too gun shy. They're too afraid to do it. But he's on all these trade lists. Elliot Friedman's talking about how he's out through the deadline. Why do you think he's doing that?
He's like the face of like when NHL.com tweets out like who could be moving at the deadline. It's like his face. So he could be traded. So I guess I would flip it to the person that texted that in and say, why would you keep him? Why would you keep him at this
point? He's got to be a Bruin for life. He's a great Bruin, Keith, and that's why you keep him. I mean, that's the only thing I ever hear.
If Paul Pierce was a Celtic for life, you wouldn't have Tatum and Brown.
Correct.
So I feel like you got to make these kind of changes. This team is in need of a turnaround. They lose yesterday, so they aren't able to go for a four-point weekend. You look at it, you're delaying this thing. They have 20 games left in the regular season. They are 2 points out of a playoff spot, but they're tied with two other teams, and the Bruins have played more games than all these teams we're talking about. You have even the Canadiens and the Flyers, who stink right behind you, have also played fewer games. So, like, points percentage-wise, you're down. You're one of the worst teams in the conference.
They're not a playoff team.
They're not.
And, I mean, literally, right now, they're not a playoff team, and they're not going to turn around and make the playoffs, especially without McAvoy and Marchand, and you throw Frederick on the list if you want to, with the guys that they have. So they should pack it in and sell at the trade deadline. One text here, quick. This is up your alley, Keith, 617-779-7937, and then we can get some phone calls.
All right.
Marchand being held out because they're going to trade him soon and don't want him to get hurt, which would nix the deal. Can you say conspiracy theory?
Well,
I don't think that's what's going on here.
I like the take.
I like where your head's at.
If they said it was like a practice, if we all didn't see it.
I watched his face smash into the boards.
Yeah.
If we all didn't see it firsthand, then. Now, is that a reason to not rush him back from the injury? I would still say no. You want teams to know that he's healthy and back and he can play. I don't think there's any upshot to faking an injury between now and the trade deadline with Marchand. I like a conspiracy theory, a Keyspiracy, but that one I'm not going to go there.
If he was healthy as an ox, do you think Don Sweeney even trades him? I don't think that he would. I don't think Sweeney would.
Say it again.
Do you think he would trade him? Like if he was healthy as an ox and they came calling.
I think he should, but I don't think he would.
Yeah. He also does have an 8-team no trade clause, which is not for a veteran. It's not like a huge no movement clause. Like it's only 8 teams. Mm-hmm. So my guess is a couple of those teams in the West would come calling and it wouldn't really be up to Brad. Like you could do the thing like, hey Brad, like we want to kind of work with you on this, but we also have to do what's best for the franchise. And if you don't have, let's say, Winnipeg on your list and they give us something fair, like then we can just trade you.
Twitch chat, your guy Monty Mac, says Jones and Keefe, what would they get for him?
I think they'd get a first round pick.
Okay. Me too. I've said before, the rental market for NHL players to contending teams, which I imagine Marchand would go to, is usually first round pick, prospect, and you know a roster player. That's usually what it's been. But let's say you get less. Let's say you just get a prospect or you just get a second round pick. Would you still trade Marchand?
Yeah, I would.
I would too.
I would. And I think first round pick makes it a little bit more of a no-brainer, but the other ones I would still do that for.
Rick Nash, the
Red Sox, the Bruins traded 3 prospects and a first round pick for Rick Nash, who wasn't as good as Marchand is now. And he also had concussion concerns, and then he later ended his career right after the Bruins season. But if you're looking at that as a comp, and, I mean, you know, prices are going up on everything, Jones.
Oh, eggs. Yeah. This economy.
You bought eggs recently?
I did.
Definitely get a first-round pick for Marchand.
My wife couldn't even find eggs at the grocery store the other day, and then she came back with a $7 12-pack of eggs.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah.
There's a buck an egg.
So, yeah, I'd imagine prices are only going up, but let's say they don't get as much as you thought.
Dude,
Marchand worth it for just a prospect or just a second round pick? Yeah.
Yeah.
He might retire at the end of the year. He might sign somewhere else at the end of the year, and it's time to rip the Band-Aid off. Okay.
The Bruins got Tyler Bertuzzi, who you'd be like, oh, he's younger, but he was a rental, for a first and a fourth. So, I mean, I think you can get that for Marchand.
That's what I think. I mean, that tends to be the formula at the deadline. First prospect roster player. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there on the Bruins and on the Celtics as well. Johnny's in Brooklyn, wants to talk Steve's. Go ahead, Johnny.
I do, but if I may, I got one thing on the Patriots too, okay. But just quick on the Celtics. You know, their loss to the Cavs, I think that was more concerning than their beating the Nuggets. Just the way they sometimes can't end games, that concerns me going forward. On the Patriots, though, I was thinking about their report cards from last week and the whole
NFLPA survey. Yeah.
On the I love the detail about the ashtrays and the seats on the airplane. And, you know, not that that particular detail is so meaningful, but the overarching kind of issues that they have, you know, don't you think that that's going to affect their ability to bring in free agents to some degree? Again, not the ashtrays specifically, but just the all those bad grades. Do they not see an issue there? And I want to get your thoughts.
Well,
thanks,
Johnny,
guys.
Johnny, I don't think players aren't going to sign here because there's ashtrays on
a
team plane.
However,
but I do think it's indicative that Kraft hasn't been willing to spend, and he's been cutting corners on certain things, the team planes included, which is brain bursting because they took such a victory lap over those two planes. Like, they were so proud of those planes, and it turns out they're trash. Like, they were throwing that in everybody's face. They're like,
we got our plane. These teams already have their own planes.
Kraft Force 1 and 2 were like, ooh, look at these planes. Awesome. Apparently, they blow.
It's horrible planes.
And so it's Kraft cutting corners. And if he's going to continue to cut corners, yeah, like he did with the planes, like he has with the facility, which is taking years and years to build, instead of being able to, boom, upgrade it like that. You said this last week. You're like, what's taking so long with building a weight room?
Now,
you're not building a whole new stadium. It's a weight room.
I don't think these will prevent free agents from coming here. I think if it gets down to, like, the 10th tiebreaker, then maybe. Like, it's compensation and opportunity is what Vrabel said, and he's right. So if the Patriots offer way more money than any other team, they're still going to show up here, right? Because you're already fighting an uphill battle of, hey, do you want to live 6 months of the year in New England, or do you want to live 6 months of the year in Miami, LA, Texas, where you might be from, or Atlanta? Like, a lot of teams just on the map have an advantage over you, but money will get them here. But then after that, let's say the money's the exact same. Let's say the location.
Yeah, it could be a tiebreaker, you know,
like,
for that.
But like
sort of
lower,
yes,
down on the list, but. Yeah, I think to your point, it sort of just speaks to what is going on. If, you know, as fans, we say, oh, you're really cheap with the roster. And then the roster is saying, you're really cheap with everything else. Like, that's a tough combination.
It's not great. So, again, Callahan and Kide in the Herald were talking about Vrabel and Drake May and how a lot of buzz in Indianapolis was about those two and the combination being able to close deals and people wanting to play with them. And yep, Drake May is viewed in the league as a future top five quarterback, which in a league with Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, and Burrow,
yeah,
you wonder if he's even top five in the AFC,
it's
never mind
crowded
in the whole league.
Yeah.
And so that's quite a comment. But the owner needs to be willing to spend. And proof will be in the pudding. Do guys want to play here? Do they want to play with those two or not? But that's a side topic to what we're talking about right now. You can still jump in on the Patriots, 617-779-7937. We'll circle back to that at high noon. Here on Jones and Keefe, a lot of good stuff in the Herald this weekend. Patriots missing out on Deebo Samuel, their wide receiver plan, et cetera, et cetera. Should the Bruins trade Brandon Carlo, Keefe? Like a couple of names that have come up. Greg Wyshynski had a whole breakdown at the roster,
yeah,
of the roster, rather, at the trade deadline last week. Marchand's name was on the list. Frederick's name was on the list. Carlo and even Mason Lorai, and he made it sound doubtful they would deal Lorai. That was more wishful thinking on teams around the league looking at a young, cost-controlled defenseman than anything else. But Brandon Carlo feels like a guy who I'd have no problem with the Bruins moving.
None.
And may have some actual value.
Yeah. Wasn't he was rumored to be in like the Landeskog trade discussion, yeah, for like years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I back then be like, yeah, I'd do that.
They should have done that.
They probably should have done that.
Yeah.
He had his moments where you were like, oh, peak Brandon Carlo could be pretty good, but I don't know. I feel like that ship has sailed a bit. I still think it's, I thought there was three no-tradable guys or untradable guys. Now maybe it's just two. I don't love your guy Swayman as much as I did before. I feel like in the right move, I would move on from him.
It's been a terrible year.
I think it's Pastrnak and McAvoy, and not that either guy is flawless or without some of their issues. But I'm not trading Pastrnak or McAvoy. Everybody else, I'm curious at what the return is. Maybe it opens up an opportunity for younger guys or whatever. Like, you need to find a way to kind of turn this thing around on the, if you want to call it a retool, fine. But if moving on from Carlo is part of that retool, I would have no objection.
Yeah, that feels like a name to watch at the trade deadline, especially because most of the other pieces you might deal, McAvoy, if you were thinking really big, Marchand, which I know is thinking too big for some Bruins fans out there, and even Frederick, they're all hurt. So how many healthy players do you have that could move? Brandon Carlo is a name to watch this week with the trade deadline on Friday. We'll see what Don Sweeney and the Bruins do off the ice, because on the ice, they haven't been very fun to watch, and they've been pretty predictable now.
They have been rough.
For a long, long, long period of time.
Just 20 games left.
It feels
just
like
20 games left.
It feels like there's more. The way this year has been going, it feels like a lot more. 617-779-7937. All your Bruins and Celtics phone calls. We talked about them this hour. We'll get back to the Patriots, as I mentioned. At high noon, Debo Samuel to the Commanders. Should the Patriots have been in? What's the buzz in free agency for New England and their plan at wide receiver? We'll get to all of that coming up. But on the way next, we're going to give you the opportunity to get in the driver's seat and pick the topic for the Jones and Keefe March Madness bracket that comes your way next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get back to the Patriots at high noon. But it's time to unveil the topics for the Jones and Keefe bracket. It's now March. If you're calendar watching out there,
bracket season. It's March the 3rd. Also, Billy the Kid's birthday.
Oh, yes.
Happy
44th to Billy Lanny. You're still getting 44 suggestions over there, Keith.
Jason Bay, Rolando Araujo, a whole bunch of hockey. Todd Bertuzzi, nice. Rob Niedermeyer, Chris Pronger.
Oh, Chris Pronger.
Alexei Shitnik.
Excuse me?
What? He's in there. Jerry West, George Gervin.
Oh, those are good ones. The Iceman. The logo.
Roman Hammerlick.
I could.
A lot of them.
Skip out on Roman Hammerlick.
So,
but happy 44th to Bill.
Yes. And so we are going to do a show bracket. We'll have the bracket out on Wednesday. You'll be able to vote on Twitter at Jones and Keefe all month long to crown a champion. But we need to come up with what the topic is. So we have four options. And then this way it's all on you guys. You guys vote. And then we can't get blamed if people don't like what wins.
Yeah.
We didn't pick it. You picked it.
We narrowed it down for you, but you actually picked it.
And it'll be a classic 64, old school 64 field tournament. And these are the four options. And you can go right now on at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and vote on this bad boy. It'll be up for 24 hours. So tomorrow at this time, we'll tell you what won. The four options are sports movies and TV shows. So I know sports movies have been done to death. However, they're always making new ones, and we add in the really popular TV shows to the mix as well. So you get both versions of Friday Night Lights.
Right.
That's really why we did it.
Yeah, we just wanted to find a way to work it.
100%. I got Tim Riggins in there so he can win. There you go. Sports nicknames. We like nicknames on this show.
That is true.
Maybe one.
Good old Mallet Finger Jones.
One of them might be just Bregman nicknames. It could be 16
Bregmans. A whole region of Bregman nicknames.
Who knows? Thank you later.
That's the one seed in the Bregman region. Yeah,
could be.
Yeah, it could be. Easily.
Foghorn Breghorn. Sports uniforms.
Nice.
This one's going to be a little more of a visual, but we're going to go and break it down. We like to talk uniforms on this show as well.
So
the 64 best uniforms, what will win. And then the last one, which is going to be a pain in the tookish to come up with, but if you vote for it, we will do it. It will be best grab bags. The grab bag drops.
Honey, what do you feel like doing for dinner tonight?
I don't know. I could go for some grab bag.
I don't know. I had grab bag yesterday around 1:30, but I guess I could have some more.
Is that Everybody Loves Raymond?
That one won't be in it. I don't know what that was.
Is that Everybody Loves Raymond?
My name is Grab! Grab bag!
All right. That one will be in there.
No, That's a one seed right
Here's
there.
Here's the trick.
If I've ever heard it.
64, we're going to have to whittle it down because there are currently 250 grab bags in there. So we're going to have to chisel that down to
there's
60.
More I forgot to save this morning.
Okay. Oh, that's right. There's more.
300-ish.
They're pouring in over the weekend. Oh, we also did get confirmed that these were, I don't want to overthink it or discuss it, but these are AI.
Turn on the radio and you'll see two radio hosts playing grab bags. Grab bags make the sports game fun for each
So I do want to thank Benjamin for sending those in. Keith at WEEI.com. He sent in three more. They're all over 2.5 minutes, so I'm not going to play those.
2.5 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. They're like full songs. I'm not going to play
those. Full compositions.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I'm not going to play those. The ones that we do have in here, though, I like a lot, so we'll play those again, but... Every day a new surprise. In the bag like starry skies. Baseball rando, scared to play. Bring mediocrity. This is the best part. Wait for it. Oh, wait. Wait for it. In a world where bags are grabbed. Who's the next? Let's take a peek. Could be anyone this week. Rob here. Rob here. Something. Ball, baseball, hockey news. A fun-filled cornucopia. All right, so that's an option. If you had to vote, Joe, actually, you can vote. You can go to Twitter. I already, Jones and Keefe.
I already did vote. I'm not. I don't want to lead the people on this, Keefe.
Oh, smart. Okay.
I don't want to. I don't know if I want to say too much.
You don't want to say. So, again, it's sports, movies, and TV shows. And I think the best way to do that would be like a football bracket, a baseball bracket, because there's so many of both.
Yep.
You kind of combine hockey and basketball into a bracket, and then you do like other, which would be like your boxing, wrestling, NASCAR, another.
I mean, I think if we're doing regions like that, we can break them down by sport for most of these, right? Sports,
yeah.
Sports, movies, uniforms, and TV shows, definitely. Nicknames, uniforms. I think we could break it down kind of by sport.
Makes it easier.
Play your way out. We want representation at the end too. We don't just want like four basketball nicknames.
Correct.
Just because we like 90s hoops when we were kids.
So then we will update every day around this time all month long and try to crown a winner.
And again, we're not picking these. These will all individually be voted on as well.
We just need to pick what gets into the bracket and the seeding.
We're the selection committee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Once the seeds are out there,
that's up to you.
You guys vote every single day on all the matchups all March long. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I would say that we do. And so tomorrow we will know what it is. And at that point, we can make some arguments for what has to be in, what shouldn't be in, that kind of thing.
We'll be doing some influencing for sure, and leaning in certain directions. But again, you can decide the 2025 Jones and Keefe bracket right now at Jones
and Keefe. It's pretty even right now.
On Twitter and Instagram. It is very even.
I just voted as well.
Sports, movies, and TV shows, sports nicknames, sports uniforms, or grab bag drops.
Yeah.
You can vote there. It will be up to you. We will blame you if it doesn't go well.
Right.
So really brilliant, I think, maneuvering on our end for sure.
Watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL, and here he is having the
grab bag
of his life.
Where do you turn at 1:30 p.m.? Jones and Keefe grab bag. Do 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 do. Where do you turn at 1:30 p.m.? Jones and Keefe grab bag. Do 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 do. Wah, wah. 93.7 Jones and Keefe grab bag. Jones and Keefe grab bag.
That's like a plucky 13 seed.
I think it could go on a run.
That could go a couple of rounds.
Again,
I could make a sweet 16.
Yeah.
Grab bag. It's like a 3 or 4
in the tournament.
That's a good 3 or 4 seed, I think.
Grab bag.
It's 8 or 9. That's an 8 or 9.
Oh, that low?
Yeah. Well, it's gonna. It's not like win a round, but like it's cannon fodder in round two. I think.
No,
but I like it. It's nice.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, there's so many good ones.
There's
so many good ones. I was like talking to Nick about it. Like the same way you were talking about, they have the different brackets. So we would have to do like a cover songs bracket for grab bag.
Yeah. How would we? What would the regions be for grab bag drops? We probably should have talked that through beforehand. We have the Bregman.
It'd be the Fitzy region. It would be the listener submission region. It would be the Lanny region.
Good.
And then
the Bregman region. Just call my
name and I'll be grab bag.
One seat.
That one gets played a lot.
I'm going to have like 8 1 seeds, but that's a 1
that
seed.
That one gets played a lot.
Yeah. Okay. We'll
Let
vote.
Grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag!
It allows you to be creative. Now, you won't make it into the bracket in time, but if you want, again, Keefe at WEEI.com.
Yeah,
I've been getting Bregman nicknames too. People are.
I put it out there.
Our boss has been getting emailed Bregman nicknames.
Correct. Yep. So look, if you're in the Twitch chat complaining about this, which you probably are, make sure you vote for something other. If you don't want to hear more grab bags,
that's their standard thing.
Go ahead and vote for something else. You have four options again at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Vote there. We will unveil the winner tomorrow, and the bracket will start rolling out as of Wednesday. So you can vote every day again at Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into your feedback here, and we'll get back to the Patriots. A lot of buzz in free agency. Boston Herald covered most of it with Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide. We'll get back to it. Plus, the Patriots miss out on Deebo Samuel. Do you have a problem with that? Should they have been in? All that and more next.